But, and voila, there you are, in the spiritual kingdom. It doesn't work like that. If it was so easy, religion would be a joke. Spiritual life is not a joke, because the spiritual kingdom is complete and perfect, and you can enter into perfection if you are perfect. Now, what do we mean by perfection? By perfection, we mean that at the point of death, you should have nothing more dear to you than the Lord. I remember my spiritual master, Kirtanananda Swami Bhaktipad, in one lecture that he gave to the devotees in Bombay. He says, just now at this minute, look at your watches, see the minute. And at this point of time when you are sitting here, what is more dear to you than God? Just now, what is more dear to you than God? Is it your wife? Is it your child? Is it your career? Who is more dear to you than God? That is what you shall think of at the point of death. As a matter of fact, if there is even for a fraction of a percentage somebody more dear to you than God, at that point of death you shall remember that person. So perfection means having the Lord as the most dear person to you at the point of death. That is perfection. Only when you have attained that perfection, then and then only can you enter into the spiritual kingdom. Chanting the name of God is very good. But when you chant the name of God, it saves you from going to hell. It does not deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. To be delivered from the cycle of birth and death, you have to attain love of God. You have to attain pure bhakti. Only when you have done that, when God is more dear to you than everything else in this world, then you shall think of Him and you shall go back to Godhead. In fact, somebody once gave me a wonderful example. He says, if I give you a huge dish of kheer, of sweet rice, and I just put a little bit of sand in that sweet rice, just a little bit of sand I put in that kheer, would you like to eat it? Just a little bit, not much, just a little bit of sand. Obviously you would not like to eat it. Why? Because you would like to have it unadulterated, uncontaminated. So also, you might say that, so what, I have done so much for God, I just have a little bit of attachment for a few things in this world. Still, that is unacceptable. It has to be pure love of God, where God is the most dear thing to you, and then only will you be able to attain the spiritual kingdom at the point of death. Now, how can we reach that stage? How can you and I reach that stage where God will be the most dear thing to us at the point of death? That is only possible if we start preparing from now. In fact, as this slide points out, how you live your life determines how you behave at death. It's very simple. All of you must have given some examination or the other at some time in your life. How you do in the examination will depend on how you have prepared for the examination throughout your academic year. If you have bunked your classes during the academic year, if you have not read your textbook during your academic year, if you have not bothered about your studies during your academic year, then when you even sit down to answer your paper in the examination hall, even if your invigilator is your best friend, even if your invigilator gives you the textbook on your lap, you won't know where to look for the answer, because you haven't seen the textbook before. But if you have prepared for your examination throughout your academic year, you have been a sincere student who has been studying constantly throughout, then at the examination you won't require the textbook. You will spontaneously and automatically answer the questions as you should be doing. So also, all of us, some of us may be thinking that, oh, he's talking of exams, my days of examination giving are finished, over, khalas, finished, no more exams for me, I've already given my last exam. Well, I'd like to disappoint some of you. Your last exam is not over. Your last exam is yet to come. And what is your last exam? Your last exam is your point of death. And at that point of death, you will be examined. And at that point of death, they will see whether you have prepared throughout your life for this minute or you have not prepared. And no matter what you do at that point of death, if you have not prepared for it, you will fail that exam and you will come back. Sometimes people give this example of Maharaj Khatvanga from the Bhagavad Puran. And Maharaj Khatvanga, he fought for the demigod in battle. And since he fought so wonderfully, the demigods offered him any boon he might ask for. So Maharaj Khatvanga said, I ask for only one boon. Let me know when I am going to die. So they told him, my dear Maharaj Khatvanga, you have only one moment left before you die. So Maharaj Khatvanga, in that one moment, fixed his mind on God and he left his body never to return. So people get inspired by this story. They say, wow, one moment he thought of God and that's it. Just like some people are under the illusion that, look at Ajamil, he led a sinful life and he just chanted the name of God and that's it. I already had to disappoint you about Ajamil's story, that he had to prepare for 12 years constantly chanting the holy name before he went back to Godhead. And now those of you who are under the illusion about Maharaj Khatvanga, I'd like to tell you, please read Bhagavad Puran again. And what does Maharaj Khatvanga say? He says, throughout my life, there has never been anything more dear to me than the Lord. And nothing I have done without first thinking of the Lord. Therefore, now that the point of death comes, let me fix my mind on God. And in one moment, he went back to Godhead. One moment of preparation. Why? Because Khatvanga had prepared throughout his life for going back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Throughout his life he said, nothing has been more dear to me than God. So unless you've lived like that, don't compare yourself to Khatvanga. Khatvanga was a great devotee. From day one he was constantly thinking of the Lord as the most dear thing to him in his life. This is why he was able to go back to Godhead when he had one moment to understand that he was dying. In fact, it is wonderful, like Maharaj Khatvanga, to be able to know when you are dying. Because one who is able to know that his death is approaching is actually blessed by God. In fact, old age is a blessing. Why is old age a blessing? Old age is a blessing because this is God's way of telling you that, my dear friend, now the time for your death is approaching. Learn to prepare how to face it. Who is unfortunate? People are unfortunate who die instantly, accidentally, in their sleep, without learning how to prepare, without having time to prepare. These people are unfortunate. Those who get advance warning, what kind of advance warning? Some terrible disease, like you have cancer. It's actually kindness that God is telling you that now death is approaching you. Learn how to face death with equanimity and learn how to escape from the cycle of birth and death right now. This is actually God's blessing. So Khatvanga had one moment, but because he prepared throughout his life, he was able to do it. Now first when I became acquainted with the philosophy, I'd like to share a small story with you. First when I became acquainted with this philosophy, I was greatly inspired. Because I thought that here, as a doctor, as a surgeon, surely sooner or later I'm going to come across some patient who's going to be close to death. So I can use this unique opportunity, this unique situation I'm in, to be able to make that patient remember God, make that patient chant the name of God, and thereby I'll be able to benefit that patient. Of course, when I became a little wiser and I learned that I couldn't make that person go back to Godhead in one instant. Actually, this question was asked by somebody in one of the courses. That if all you have to do is to chant the name of God, then all you have to do is you have to give a lethal injection to the patient and tell the patient, please chant the name of God, and then give the lethal injection. This is a question that was asked. Why don't you do that? So of course, the answer is that this is not what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to save lives. And we are supposed to give them the maximum opportunity in life to prepare for death, not just push them into an examination they're not prepared for. But I thought that if I come across some patient who anyway is going to die, he doesn't have much hope, and we have done everything possible medically to save that person, and now when all medical measures have failed, there is nothing I can do, now that I am a little bit prepared with this understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, let me at least help that person to avoid going to hell. Let me help that person chant the holy name of the Lord. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord, that person will at least be saved going to hell if that person won't be delivered. And that time I was working in the JJ hospital and I was in charge of the emergency department. So I had a lot of opportunities. I thought people will come in vehicle accidents and they will be dying and they will be in great distress sometime or the other. And when everything else fails, I'll try it. But time passed and I didn't get any opportunity at all. And one day my friend came to me and he said that I'm feeling very depressed. I said, why? He says, I am feeling depressed because I have a patient who has been admitted in hospital. And I am supposed to arrange for the kidney transplant of that patient. And the patient has flown, she is a rich Sindhi lady, who has flown all the way from Hong Kong for a kidney transplant. And she is not doing very well. I said, what's the matter? So he said, she's come back and while she's waiting for the kidney transplant, she's taken a turn for the worse. So just come with me for moral support when we go to the hospital. I said, fine. So just for moral support, I accompanied my physician friend to the hospital. So when we went there, we found that the kidneys had failed. And because they didn't want to try hemodialysis, they tried peritoneal dialysis. When they tried peritoneal dialysis, that is, they tried to clean out the toxins from the body by putting fluid in the abdominal cavity, that fluid wouldn't come out. So the patient got waterlogged, he got too much fluid in him. As a result of that, he started developing heart and finally he started developing lung failure. So, I visited the patient the first time when we found that peritoneal fluid wouldn't, the wash wouldn't come out. And second time when we found the patient developing heart and then lung failure. And finally I told him, I said, see, we are not going to be able to do anything medically for this patient. So he said, what to do? I have tried everything possible. And everything we try seems to be going wrong. So can you think of any medical suggestion for me to help to save this patient? So I looked at the patient who was on the bed and I could see that the patient was going to die. And I told my friend, I said, this patient has got maximum 4 to 6 hours of life left. I can see from the condition of the patient that by this evening this patient will be dead. And I can also see that you have done everything possible medically to save this patient. Everything, nothing has been left out. But this patient is going to die nonetheless. So I said, since this patient is going to die nonetheless and you tried everything medically feasible to save this patient, let us now think about the spiritual needs of the patient. Let us make this woman chant the holy name of the Lord before she dies. Because at least this way we will prevent her from going to hell. So he looked at me and he said, surely you must be joking. I said, no, I'm not joking. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. I already explained to you there's nothing that can be done for this patient. And since this patient is about to die, all that I'm requesting is that you just help this patient to chant the holy name of the Lord. He's saying, are, ye kaise kar sakte hain? I said, why not? Why can't you do it? So he's saying, nahi, nahi, you can't do like this. This is Bridge Candy Hospital. So I said, so what if it's Bridge Candy Hospital? It could be any hospital in the world. This patient is dying and in addition to that, you've done everything that could be done to save the patient. Now do something for the soul of the patient. Make the patient chant the holy name of the Lord. They turned to me and said, you know, if somebody sees me doing this, no other patients will come to me. So I said, okay, we'll do it in secret so that nobody will know. Of course, even now while I'm speaking to you, I'm not telling you the name of the person. So I said, don't worry, your practice won't suffer. We'll see to it that nobody knows about this. So he said, okay. So he sent the private nurse out of the room. Then we closed the door. Of course, the windows were closed. It was an air-conditioned room. He shifted the Venetian blind so that nobody could see inside. And for good measure, he pulled the curtains also. So this way, nobody would come in. And then he tiptoed next to this patient. And he went right up to her ear and inside her ear he whispered, Bhagwan ka naam lo. So I said, what are you saying? I can't hear you. How will the lady who is dying hear you? So he said, nahi, nahi, nahi. You know, people outside will hear what I am saying and it will become the talk of the hospital. So we have to be a little discreet in what we are doing. I said, what discreet? This woman is dying. Do something, damn it. So he went again and he said, Bhagwan ka naam lo. Krishna Bhagwan ka naam lo, Hare Krishna bolo. I said, forget it, you are a dead loss as far as saving a patient's soul is concerned. Because this patient can't hear you for certain, let me do it. So I went next to the patient and although my friend had a very worried, anxious look on his face, I said into the patient's ear fairly loudly, I said, Bhagwan ka naam lo, Hare Krishna bolo. So this Sindhi lady, she turned around and looked at me. And she just looked at me like this and she said, Cha, cha, I believe in Sindhi, that means what? What are you saying? So I thought maybe she's close to death. Actually, when you're close to death, you're so disturbed, you know, you cannot pay attention to what's going on around you. I thought she may be distracted. And also at the same time, I thought maybe her ear, she's an old lady after all. So maybe she's slightly deaf in the ear. So let me try a little louder. So So I went next to her ears and I cupped my hands, and with all 90 decibels of the loudest voice that I could muster, I shouted in her ear. I said, Bhagwan ka naam lo, Hare Krishna bolo. But again she looked at me and she said, Huh? What are you saying? So I said, maybe this ear is deaf. Let me try the other ear. So I walked around the bed and I went next to the second ear and I shouted in the second ear with all that I had got. I said, Bhagwan ka naam lo, Hare Krishna bolo. So again this lady, she turned to me and she said, What are you saying? So I thought that anyway, if she wasn't deaf, she must be deaf by now. So there's no point in trying again. So I turned to my friend and I said, well, what are we going to do now? So at that point of time, I thought she's so disturbed that she doesn't know what's going on. But this lady, she looked at my friend who was her doctor and she called him and clearly she told him that please phone my daughter, tell her I am dying and that I want to see her. She said this in three languages. She said this in English, she said this in Hindi, and she said it in Sindhi. Furthermore, she gave the telephone number of her daughter. So can you imagine? So close to death. So I thought that she was so disturbed, she would not be able to understand what was going on. But her mind was crystal clear. And crystal clear. She was able to speak in three languages. She was able to remember her daughter's telephone number. And she was able to give the message. She knows she's dying. She said, I know I am dying. Tell my daughter to come and see me. So at that point of time, I remembered the words of my spiritual master, Kirtanananda Swami Bhaktipada. He said, at this point of time, what is more dear to you than God? Who is it? Your husband, your wife, your child? Even if that person is 0.001% more dear to you than God, then at the point of death, you shall think of that person. So then I realized that how you lead your life actually tells at the point of death. Because then, no matter how many people are there to shout in your ear to remember God, what happens? You just say, What is it? You cannot remember. You cannot understand. You are unable to grasp the idea of God. You only remember what is most dear to you. You only remember what is most dear to you. Therefore, it is most important at that point of time, I got that realization. I got that conviction that what is said by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is absolutely 100% true. I am convinced. I don't know if you are convinced, but I have been convinced by this experience that whatever is most dear to you at the point of death, you shall think of that and that only. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi, yat. Yat tapasyasi ho kaunteya tat kuruswa madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you give away, whatever acts you perform, whatever austerities you perform, whatever charities you perform, do them for me, O son of Kunti. This is what Krishna says. Why does he say that? Just imagine somebody saying that whatever you eat, whatever you perform, whatever you give away, do it for me. Does he need it? God doesn't need anything. God is Atma Ram. But you need it. You need to do something for God. Why do you need to do something for God? You need to do something for God because that's the only way you'll remember Him. That's what Krishna says. He says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Mam evaisyasi satyamte. He says, at the point of death, you will remember me. He says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me. Think of me, be completely absorbed in me, and surely at the point of death you will come to me without fail. This is his message. That you should do things for Krishna only for one reason. Not because he needs it, but because you need it. What do you need? You need to think of him so that you can be constantly absorbed in thoughts of him. This is most important. In fact, there are many examples of devotees who dedicated their whole lives. You might ask me, what is the proof? That all my life I might be thinking of God and at the point of death I may be let down. So there's a very interesting story I'd like to share with you. It's about a group of devotees who are traveling in a van. So when they were traveling in the van met with an accident. And some of the lady devotees were thrown on one side and one lady devotee on the other side with the van. So at that point of time, this lady devotee was giving her experience afterwards. She said, I could hear my friends in the ditch on the opposite side shouting to me that chant the name of the Lord, remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. They were chanting, shouting to me that chant the name of God. And she said, I was in the ditch and my chest was damaged to the extent that my lungs were full of blood and I was literally choking on blood. So what to speak of chanting the name of God, she said. My mouth was so full of blood that I had difficulty in breathing. So I thought at this point of time, she said, that my death had come and I just couldn't chant. But she said, I just closed my eyes at that point of time. And in neon letters across my mind's eye, I could see, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That at the point of death, she was able to remember the Lord, and she was able to remember the name of the Lord because He was most dear to her. Regardless of all physical inconvenience, in fact, the great devotee Kulasekara has said, that, Oh God, when You take me, don't take me in agony. Because if you take me in agony, how will I remember you? But actually, God knows what is best for you. Even if He takes you at a point of time when you are in agony and you have been a devotee, He never fails you. He sees to it that you are able to remember Him at the point of death. So this is very important. The point is, you must devote your life to God. You must think of Him in whatever you do. You must be constantly absorbed in thoughts of Him. And then at the point of death, you shall surely remember Him without fail. Now, before we go on, I suggest that we should chant one more round of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra so that we should start preparing for death right now, because we don't know what's going to happen on the way home. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hari Rama, Namo Rama Hari Hari. Thank you. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.